Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
Everybody, Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, and we are going to talk a little bit later on about it's the 35th anniversary of Spinal Tap, if you can believe that. So we've got some facts about Spinal Tap. We're going to talk about movies that make us laugh, because Spinal Tap is a movie that makes me laugh, and we'll get into some of that. And also some shocking TV finales, like shows that were that made you rethink the entire show when the finale happened, and that's coming up as well. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text, and you can also get your Wildcard Wednesday requests in. Wildcard Wednesday requests. So that's any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. So that's all coming up. Right now, though, we you heard Bill Withers. You know what happens when you hear Bill Withers. It means Kevin Powell is going to join us. Kevin is a sports reporter for WGN. You can hear him in the afternoons right here on WGN Radio on Rose Show. You can listen to his podcast, Powell at the Park, on WGNRadio.com. And you can follow him on Twitter at KPowell720. And it's always fun to talk sports with Kevin. And here he is. Hey, Kevin, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Nick. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, are you still in Arizona?
Unfortunately not. I wish I was. I absolutely love it out there for obvious reasons, especially this time of year, Nick. It's a bit cold right now.
Yeah, it is. It's ridiculous. This winter is just not going to, it just seems like it's not going to end. It's just,
it won't budge. Hey, by the way, TV endings, I know this is obviously going to come up, but for me, this is such an obvious choice, but the, like, I think it's a monthly type thing for me to talk about the ending of Sopranos. And I don't know if it necessarily changes the whole series for me, but at least it's a point of conversation.
It certainly is.
For me and some of my buddies. Well, no, so I'm sure you're going to get into that. No, that's an obvious one for me.
There's no question that The Sopranos is going to come up when we talk about TV finales. Because it was, right. It was such a divisive finale. You know what I mean? Like, some people hated it. Some people loved it. Some people were baffled by it, so we'll definitely get into that. So but that's all coming up. So let's talk a little sports. Well, obviously, you know, you've been doing your actually, first of all, tell everybody about the Powell at the Park. What have you been doing? Some new podcasts? What do you got going?
Yeah, I had some fresh stuff out at spring training. We'll have something new probably this week, actually. But the latest stuff was a blog on Manny Machado, obviously, which I think the last time I was on with you, that was much of the conversation, is where would Manny Machado sign? Turns out not with the White Sox. So it's WGNRadio.com. You go to the sports section. I do a blog. Picks up, you know, obviously a lot during the baseball season, and there's a podcast that I like to do as well, so you can check some stuff out there. But yeah, Manny Machado was the obviously big story,
clearly,
out of camp when I was there. Yeah. So I think it was my second to last day. I was in on the backfield, the practice field, and we're all kind of just standing around, us reporters, just watching them kind of warm up, and everybody starts feeling their phones buzzing and ringing, and we all kind of, next thing you know, you just see everybody's face buried in their phones, and that's when we got the news, Manny Machado going to the Padres,
right,
not your Chicago White Sox.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll get to that in a little bit. Now, speaking of deals, what's your take on this Bryce Harper thing?
It's interesting because the Dodgers had reportedly offered him a 4-year deal, which is obviously much less than what he signed for years wise with the Phillies and money wise, but the deal reportedly was worth $45 million a year, which would have shattered basically every average annual value for any player, really, ever, definitely in baseball. So that would have been $45 million a year. It's crazy. I mean, it's insane, but it's basically what I anticipated. I mean, with the $300 million is what we had heard for so long with Harper. And once Machado got $300, there really wasn't much doubt that Harper was going to get $320 or $330, because Harper wasn't going to settle until he got the largest deal.
Yeah.
Now, he makes less per year than Machado, because it's spread out over 13 years. You know, Machado got 10 years, $300 million. Harper got $330 over 13 years. So it's less money per year. He's talked about how, you know, that gives the Phillies some flexibility. Believe it or not, it does, because it's $26 million a year compared to $30 or $35 million a year, even $40 million.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what he talked about. And he's a family man, and he's you know, he talked about kind of planting his feet in one spot and just basically finishing his career with one organization, one city.
You know, when I heard 13 years, I was like, "What? I mean, is that a record? Is that did that set something?"
Years wise, it's a good question. I don't know officially if that did, but I was surprised too. I think a lot of people were surprised to see 13 years. I think when people saw Machado sign 10 years, $300 million, you figure Harper would get maybe 10 years, $320 million, just to beat Machado by a little bit.
Right.
And there was also talk Harper could end up settling for a shorter deal. Like I said, 4 years, the Giants had come into the equation. You know, I think the Phillies had reported, I think, started at about 8 years and it ended up at 13. So it's crazy. I wasn't anticipating that. But 2032 is when Bryce Harper is signed through with the Phillies, which is just crazy to think of.
No, seriously, it's nuts. I mean,
And it's hard to justify. And I was telling Sox, you know, I debate with Sox fans about the whole Machado thing and Sox missing out on that. It's really hard to justify return on investment for a $300 million deal. Bryce Harper is going to be 39 by the time he finishes his deal.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me he's going to be worth that money when he's. You got to figure he's going to decline at some point. I mean, every single player, no matter how good they are throughout their career, they're always declining. To, you know, on the back end of 30 and things like that. I mean, you look at the Miguel Cabrera deal with the Tigers, Albert Pujols with the Angels now. Now Harper and Machado were different because they entered free agency in their prime, 26, 27. A lot of these guys get signed when they're 30. So I think the thinking for a lot of these teams is, you know, look, the Phillies have already—they sold a crazy amount of extra tickets right after.
Oh, sure.
Harper, you know, the Padres reportedly have sold like an extra $2 or $3 million worth of tickets.
Yeah.
So teams can justify it. I think on the back end of both these deals, it's going to be, you know, we're all kind of, you know, we'll look back at this moment and be like, remember when we said this deal probably wouldn't work for the second half of the deal? But
right.
I think a lot of teams are willing to, you know, bite the bullet and say, let's win now. Even if half the deal works, that's 6-7 years of really good, really high-end play for a guy.
Yeah, and I'm guessing, Kevin, that, you know, we're going to see, you know, some concession prices go up. ticket prices are probably going to go up.
The one team in pro sports, at least here in the U.S., who's actually slashing concession prices. I don't know if you followed the story over the past 2 years, Nick, but the Atlanta Falcons, they built that, you know, that crazy like billion-dollar stadium in Atlanta with the crazy roof and all that.
Yeah,
they actually decided to basically experiment with it and try a whole different route and like basically charge normal prices that you would expect, like. Like instead of $8 for a hot dog, it's $2 for a hot dog, and for a pretzel, it's like $2 a pretzel. And they've actually found that they're actually making more money because fans aren't afraid to go into the stadium, you know, earlier, right when the gates open. A lot of times, people wait. Well, I'll have one extra drink out in the parking lot, and then we'll walk over and we'll get there right for kickoff because I don't want to buy another $50 worth of refreshments. So I don't know. It's getting a little off topic here, I love that story, and I love that the Falcons are doing that because I think a lot of teams, especially if you don't sell out all the time, like you're asking fans to go see a team that's not good by, you know, $8 hot dogs and $10 cheeseburgers. It's just kind of hard for a lot of people to swallow, especially if you're watching a bad team.
I will say this. They also do a lot of great food and drink deals at guaranteed rate.
Oh, no question about it. I mean, you get Dollar Wednesday. Of course, I know all the food specials. Wednesday nights, you can get a hot dog for $1. They've got all kinds of specials. And the Sox do some of the great promotional giveaways and things like that for games, and I think your dollar will go a little bit farther with the Sox compared to some other ballparks around baseball.
There's no question about it. Now, speaking of Sox, real quick, I want to get back to we definitely have to get back to all the stuff, the reporting that you did at spring training. I definitely want to get into that. But speaking of the Sox, when is the day where you get to go to Guaranteed Rate and eat, where you get to sample all the new menu items and stuff?
That is a great question, Nick. Normally, us reporters are like just staring at our laptops all offseason waiting for that email. Normally, it's about 2 weeks or so before the season starts, so pretty soon. I gotta keep an eye out for that email. I'm glad you reminded me, Nick.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That's a big one. That's a big one for us.
We got to put that on your radar, man. You know?
Yeah. When you work in the media, you never pass up free food, right?
No, absolutely not. You know, yeah.
It's always jam-packed, too, which is hilarious. Like, nope. I see the same reporters there every year. Even Dave Vennett, I dragged him out there last year, and he's, you know, they're giving us like these crazy food options, cheeseburgers and beefs and all the other things, and I turn around and Dave is somehow eating a salad. I go, Dave, how did you find a salad at the ballpark? But you know how Dave is, he's the health nut.
No, he is. And if anybody's gonna find a salad, it'll be Dave Vennett. Yeah, it'll be Dave Vennett. He'll find the salad.
I don't know if he was gnawing on like the garnish, you know, around a food tray or something, but it was green and it looked like a salad, and he found it. So,
of course he did.
It was impressive. Yeah. That's Dave for you.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds like a really fun day at the park, man. Just, you know, checking out.
It
all
is. You should come out there.
Yeah.
I feel like that's right up. You should come out. I'll forward you the email. We'll go as a group. So I think last year we had like the group keeps growing because I keep telling everyone at GN about it, and the next thing I know, it's just like. It was just me, and then now there's like, you know, last year we had like five people out there. So, hey, if you want to come with Nick, I think you'd enjoy it.
Okay, just check out the new food out at Guaranteed Rate. So, there you go. Yeah. Okay, listen, Kevin, hang on, okay, man?
All right, you got it.
Yeah, we're going to take a break when we come back. All of your recent stories about your spring training and your other stories we're going to get to in a second, okay?
All right, you got it.
All right, man. Kevin Powell is with us, and you can follow him on KPowell720. On Twitter, and you can listen to him every weekday afternoon with Rokan doing the sports there. And again, his podcast is Powell at the Park on WGN Radio, and he writes a bunch of stories that he files as well. And we're going to jump into that and more sports talk with Kevin right after we break here on 720 WGN.
Lean on me.
Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. We're here until 5 a.m. Wildcard Wednesday.
You're my Wildcard Wednesday.
That will commence in just a few minutes here, so get your requests in right now. The lines are open, 312-981-7200. Any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200. Kevin Powell joins us, which is why we're playing some Bill Withers for you. He is a sports reporter and anchor for WGN Radio. You can hear him afternoons right here on 720 WGN. You can follow him on Twitter at KPowell720. And we welcome Kevin back to the show. Kevin, welcome back.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Anytime for you guys.
I love you, man. Let's get back to, real quick, before we jump into spring training and all the coverage that you did and the stories that you've been writing about it, the Blackhawks have taken a turn for the worse. You know, the last time you were on with us, we were talking about how much fun and exciting it was at that time to watch, and it's kind of fallen apart. And now they desperately need to win a ton of games at this point. There's not a lot left.
Yeah, you know, there was the two games I think I'll look back on, and it's not over yet. They can pull off a miracle here. These games still matter a lot. It was, I think, just last week, 2 weeks ago, they had that two-game stretch against the Avalanche and the Stars. And I think at that point, going into that three-day stretch, two-game stretch, they had clawed their way to like 2 points out of the wild card.
That's right. Yep.
And there was a shot going into like, it was like a Thursday Saturday situation, or Friday Sunday, whatever it was. And if they had won both those games, they would have held one of the wild cards, and they lost both those games, I think by a total of two goals.
Yeah.
They didn't get a single point out of it. And that that's the little week, you know, half week stretch I'll really think back on, because I felt like if they took those two games against two division opponents, two teams in the playoff race, they would have been climbed their way right back into it, and the next thing you know, they're 6 points back of the wild card.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's been a tough stretch, but at least, you know, they've made the games meaningful for the past month or so now.
No, they have, and certain players are really stepping up, and obviously the season that Kaner is having is insane. And,
unbelievable.
I mean, really unbelievable.
And DeBrincat, and even how about Dylan Strome, since they traded for him in late November?
No, he's on fire. And what about Gustafson, who was a healthy who was like a healthy scratch twice in December, and he's come back, and he's averaging a point a game now.
I think he's got a point in 12 of his last 14 games or something like that.
It's crazy.
And, I think he's got 15 points total in that stretch. So, you know, a lot of guys, they went through a crazy weird stretch where your Hall of Fame coach is all of a sudden gone. You got to buy into sort of a new format with Jeremy Colleton, who honestly, I think, with all things considered, has done a pretty good job here with kind of taking over in a really rough stretch for the Blackhawks. He's got to take over for Q. A lot of fans were a little frustrated with how things started at the year. So, you know, in I think you got to respect what Jeremy Colleton's done so far.
Oh,
and you started to see them like kind of buy into his style, and you've seen guys really performing well. It's just been the defensive side of things that's really been a struggle for them basically all season. But, you know, there's been a lot of good positives, and we still got, 16 games left here. So, it's not over yet.
Yeah.
I'll just say that.
Yeah. I mean, I'll watch every one of those games, too. So,
no question.
So,
no question.
Let's talk a little bit about, you mentioned Machado. You wrote a piece about how the White Sox need, it's time to move on. What was your gist on that?
Yeah, I just think that it was such, look, I'm not going to deny it. It was deflating at Camelback Ranch, the spring training home for the White Sox. When we got that news, Kenny Williams, team exec, longtime team exec, I watched him walk over to Rick Renteria, who was watching some batting practice, and he was talking to Renteria's ear just minutes after the news broke, and Renteria kind of slumped his shoulders a bit, and then Kenny met with reporters, and Kenny was deflated, he was disappointed. They thought, the thing with this is the White Sox thought they had the best offer.
Yeah.
And, you know, for any frustrated Sox fans out there, I get it. I get it because the Sox told you that they were going all in on Machado, but don't play this Sox are cheap card or anything like that. They were prepared to give a player at minimum $250 million. The deal ended up being $250 million with incentives that could have took it over to $350 million, which is more than what he signed with the Padres. And he just would have had to earn it in incentives, games played, honors, things like that, that get put into contract. They lost out. They maybe miscalculated on their offer. And, you know, the one question I proposed to frustrated Sox fans, look, let's say the Sox offered the exact same deal to Manny Machado as the Padres did. Maybe Manny Machado just wanted to play for the Padres.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's a major decision. You're signing a 10-year deal for whatever reason he decided, whether he, you know, the Padres have the top 1, 2, 3 farm systems. They're right there with the Sox. They're loaded with prospects. They're in a very similar spot as the Sox. For whatever reason, he chose the Padres. And if it was simply came down to $50 million in base salary, I don't know how frustrated you can really be. If you're the White Sox, I mean, I understand it's disappointing because you basically have for months now, and really maybe even longer than that, because this has been one of the most anticipated free agency periods in years with Harper and Machado hitting the market.
Right, right.
It's just, I get it. I get it on all sides. I just don't think there'd be so many overreactions from a lot of fans because, you know, I thought the Sox did make a pretty good pitch for him. I really do.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. Okay, keeping up with your spring training notebook, Tom Ricketts did some talking. Tell me about that.
Yeah. It was, you know, it was an interesting week when I was out there because there was the news with the Sox, and that was disappointing, losing out on Machado. And then the Cubs started kind of on a weird note because Ricketts was kind of answering for a lot of things. There was, I mean, geez, he was even talking about, you know, the Aldermanic race in the 44th Ward because they didn't want Tom.
Right.
I mean, it was weird. There was a lot of political stuff with the Cubs as well. There was talk about Joe Maddon as a lame duck manager going into a season. So there was a lot of talk there. There was a lot of talk about their new broadcast deal. Which some fans are, I think, very intrigued to see how that plays out. But it's no question going to cost you more money. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah.
So it was just sort of kind of a weird week for the Cubs to start when I was out there, because Tom Ricketts always does sort of a state of the team address to kick things off, and it wasn't exactly sunshine and rainbows like it has been the past few years. Maybe, you know, especially off that World Series year, and even going into the World Series year, it was just so much kind of fun. And I'm not saying it still isn't. I still think the Cubs have the mojo. I still think they're going to compete, but they've got a very difficult division this year. I mean, very difficult. You saw what the Cardinals did, getting Goldschmidt. The Brewers didn't get any worse, and they won the division. And even the Pirates and Reds gave them some trouble. So, I think the Cubs got a really good shot. I think they probably have the best starting rotation definitely in the National League. I mean, top to bottom, the addition of Cole Hamels and what he did last year. You're looking at Lester, Hendricks, Quintana, Hamels, and who am I missing? Tyler Chatwood will not be. And Yu Darvish. Yu Darvish is having a great spring. He's throwing 97. He says it's the best he's felt. So that's huge news for the Cubs and for Cub fans. I think they're going to be in a pretty good spot this year as long as they stay healthy.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm loyal to the team, but there are some weird things surrounding the team right now. And you mentioned the Cubs TV network deal, the Tom Ricketts talking, weird stuff, and then the whole Addison Russell thing has been a cloud.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's
been a cloud over the team's head. And he's actually talked about it, right? Russell talked about it, right?
Yeah, he's talked about it, and it's just one of those moral dilemma things. I think if you're a sports fan, and we see it all the time, a guy has a horrible off the field thing, and some people simply think that a team should move on. The Cubs have decided that they're going to do everything possible and keep. Look, they made it sound like they're keeping Addison at a very high standard. They're putting him through a lot to make him, to help him become a better person, and for them to see Addison Russell proving that he has changed and that the past is the past. But, keep in mind, he's still 28 games to serve of his 40-game suspension.
Right.
So he's not even going to be available the first month. It's just sort of a little bit different because the Cubs, it felt like they could do no wrong over the past, 4 or 5 years,
right,
other than a couple, maybe pricing with tickets and things like that. But that always comes with winning. Other than that, it really, and I guess the role as Chapman kind of played into that, but
sure,
then they win the World Series and everybody forgets about it. But for the most part, it's been nothing but winning and good times with the Cubs. So it was just sort of a different start to spring training.
I agree.
That we'd kind of had sensed before.
Yeah. All right. Also, when you're covering your spring training notebook, you wrote, "Are the White Sox ready to win? Ready to start winning?" What was the feeling when you were covering the Sox?
Well, there's a sense of urgency within the clubhouse, no question about it. I remember 3 years ago when I was there, you just didn't really feel it in the clubhouse. And then last year when the rebuild, you had all these young new players, these top prospects, and things were really picking up, and things didn't really go that well on the field last year. So I think for a lot of the players, Lucas Giolito he's one of their pitching prospects. He pitched last year. He's like, "I'm done with losing." He's got tired of it. Ricky Renteria, the manager, says it's time to start having an urgency and start challenging everybody to, "Let's start making the turn here a little bit. This is year 3 of the rebuild. You had 62 wins last year. You better see some significant improvement on that."
Yeah.
There hasn't been any major, major upgrades this offseason, but it's another year under the belt for a lot of these guys. And you're going to see a couple of years. You're going to see Eloy Jimenez. Folks, when he's up to the plate this year, you're going to be watching it. I mean, the guy is just a monster. He's their top hitting prospect. He came over to the Sox in that deal with the Cubs, the Jose Quintana trade.
Oh, right.
Man, he puts on a show in batting practice. I mean, he draws a crowd just about every time he's out there hitting. So he'll probably be called up in late April, and do not miss many of his at-bats because I haven't heard a single negative thing about him so far.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And so, of the two training camps, the more fun one was the White Sox.
Yeah, I mean, I think for the most part, the Machado thing kind of brought a dark cloud over it for a couple of days.
Yeah.
But the Joe Maddon antics that we've seen are kind of gone. I think he's kind of moved on from that. I think the players are a little bit old. They're kind of done with the magicians that Maddon used to bring in,
and the
circus act he brings to spring training.
Right.
A little bit more business-like for the Cubs than maybe in the past few years.
Yeah.
But the Sox, you feel that youthful energy with all the young guys they have in the clubhouse.
Oh, there you go. All right. Well, you did a great job covering it, Kevin. Welcome back, and I'm sorry about the weather.
That's all right. We'll suffer together. Spring's right around the corner, Nick.
That's
great
right.
to talk to you, my man.
Okay, buddy. Take care.
All right, Nick. Thanks.
Very cool. The wonderful Kevin Powell. Love that guy. Sports reporter, anchor for WGN Radio. You can hear him every weekday afternoon on Rokan's show. And you can follow him on Twitter at kpowell720. His podcast is Powell at the Park on WGNRadio.com. And we talk to him usually about, you know, once a month, just to touch base and talk sports. Always fun to talk to Kevin Powell. We thank him for hanging out with us. All right, we're going to take a break, and we got the news coming up next.